Hi, my name's Dan, and this is my manifesto. Yes, I like to review independent films along with my co-host Jared, and we bring you the juice.
Oh.
We love the indie film juice. We suck it all up, and we spit it back out.
Dan?
Yes?
Define juice in this context.
Chutzpah. Moxie.
Oh, okay. You know what my manifesto is, Dan?
What? What is your manifesto?
For you to not say juice. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. It's so good to be here. That's Dan. I'm Jared. And of course, as always, we get independent films submitted to us from anywhere. Anyone can do it. You just send us your film. I've had some people emailing us to be like, what should I do? I'm like, you've done it. You've emailed us. Now just email us your screener. Just send us your film and you know, let us take care of it. We'll put it on the list. We'll get to it eventually. We got a lot of people, but we get to them.
We should make a WikiHow page for how to submit to us.
Oh, absolutely. Step one, send film. Step two, you're done. But yeah, we watched the film. We want the airwaves.
We want the airwaves.
This was sent to us by Violet, and we were talking off mic, but we're not sure if they're affiliated with this film or the creation of it. I don't know. They might be friends of them, friends of Scott, the director.
Violet is a mysterious creature.
A mysterious benefactor.
For all we know, it could be like an AI. I know you're
an
real.
AI.
I believe in you.
I'm not sure now. But yeah, this was directed by Scott Ryan. And it's got, three different writers. But are there writers in this? Yeah, I guess because there's reenactments of scenes.
So the writing is basically, it's Scott and his partner. It's Scott and Carmel who wrote it. But they hired a script supervisor type person to like carry the narrative of the documentary.
I
think that's what, like, there's an additional writing credit there. And I think that's what, it was that. Which, I mean, what were you going to say?
I was just going to ask you if you could break down the film before we get in any further.
So this film is about Scott's baby, his pet project, his beautiful, beautiful crowning achievement named a manifesto. He wanted to get TV on the air.
A manifesto.
He wanted to get a TV show on the air, and he pitched it as the anti-news, right? Like, you constantly see the 24-hour news cycle of nothing but garbage and bullshit and just awful things every day. I want to put something on the TV that is positive. And what he does is he finds these people who have a manifesto, like they are passionate about something that's very positive and forward-thinking, and he tries to tell their story. And this documentary is essentially a long documentation of all of the trials and tribulations of having or trying to get the show pitched to people who will put it on the air for him. And It is a pretty wild ride. This film is great for anyone who wants to make a film or any kind of media at all. Like, this gives you a heavy, heavy dose of reality.
Yeah, just how difficult it is to break into Hollywood.
Granted, like, independent films and Hollywood and independent television and the corporate networks, they're all very much a different beast, but it's still, you have similar strokes, right?
For different folks.
I was hoping you would say that.
Dan, you're also not allowed to say strokes.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we're going to talk about it. This film, question to you, Dan, because this is how the show works. First, we do questions. What?
Can I say yanks?
Tugs? Yes. Tugs and yanks, totally fine during this. I will limit it to two per episode, though. Okay. So you've already said it.
Good.
For each. So just be careful. Dan, how did you feel about the overall narrative of like what this documentary is about? You know, is it holding your attention?
I loved it. Like, yeah, it held my attention throughout the entire thing because you're rooting for them. The mission behind this is, it's so, you don't understand why it's not being sold. Like, the whole film, you're like, why isn't anybody picking this up? So it's like, you want them to succeed, and then you see them take a step forward and then get thrown back six paces. Mm-hmm. And then it gets really dark at one point. Like, it's not super dark, but, like, they lose a lot of money, and they're kind of in dire straits for a second. So, like, you get this whole narrative arc of what it means. Really, what the thing is this guy's manifesto was to make this movie, and this movie is the manifesto of, you know what I mean? Like, this movie is, like, it's layered.
Inceptifesto.
Yes, it's Inceptifesto.
We have to go deeper. So what's interesting is that Scott, who is, this is like his brainchild, right? And he directed this documentary as well.
Yeah.
He doesn't make himself look
like a star.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to say is, it's like, he's not afraid of showing bad points about him too.
Yeah.
He's showing everything, well, which is really interesting to me.
Also Carmel. Like, Carmel is in the writer's chair, and she lets things be said about her. And it's like, wow. These people are raw, open, and honest. Mm-hmm. I love that. I thought that was really good. Yeah,
this is a very real documentary. And I mean, it's like, you have full control over what the story is going to be and what you're going to tell. And they're like, just everything. Just show everybody all the shit.
Yeah.
All the stuff we said to each other, let's go. And I really like that a lot. And it makes the documentary way more interesting. How did you feel about the animations that they spliced into this?
I love them.
The reenactments.
They were so charming. Because, number one, they're really well done.
Yes.
And number two, I thought it was just a really creative... I don't want to call it a... what's the word I'm looking for? Well, whatever. I don't want to call it that anyway. It feels... It feels like it could be kind of tongue-in-cheek and, like, cheesy, but it's not. It works because some of the interviews that they are having are very cartoonish. It's like, mm-hmm. Why not make them cartoons to begin with? Because, like, oh, we can't get this guy, so let's just reenact what we had with him. And then...
Yeah, yeah. Or we weren't able to get footage because we were having a closed-door meeting. And so it's like, we have to go by, like, memory or whatever.
Isn't that fucking great that closed door meetings are fucking cartoons? Like, they don't matter. They are made up. And this film emphasizes that fact. I love it.
I really liked the animation and I enjoyed it when it showed up. I will say, towards the end of the film, there are a few of them that I feel like went on for a little too long. Either we could have, like, pared it down.
Well, okay. So, like, there's a critique there. There are some things that I do think could be cut down a little bit just for time, you know,
mm-hmm.
But I know exactly what you're talking about. One of them was the animation, for sure.
Yeah. I felt like the last 20 minutes, I was only really feeling it during those animation scenes where I'm kind of like, all right, I understand the point of this scene. But Dan, did you have a question for me?
Okay. So they had a bunch of auditions, right? And mm-hmm. They picked four stories that they were going to focus on for their pilot.
Yeah, three or four stories.
So which of those stories was your favorite?
I liked I'm pretty sure she was a call girl or former prostitute lady. I liked her story a lot. They didn't focus on it enough. They really focused on the well water guy. I get it because his was the most successful, I believe.
Yeah.
And you can even go to that site and see all the stuff that he's done since, you know, the filming of the doc and since like 2005 because they were originally pitching this in 2005, and that permeates throughout the entire thing because they're filming the process while they're doing it. And to see everything with that 2005 lens and like how the cameras look and how everyone's dressed and their hairstyles, it's very funny to me. And it's very of that time. It makes me wonder, like, 10, 20 years from now, if like this time period's we're all gonna look at
it
and go, whoa, we're fucking weirdos.
Of course it is.
So weird. We're like, look at these JNCO Jean of the future motherfuckers. but yeah, it's kind of fun.
Well, and then like, so to that end, because we always complain about like, don't do things that date your film. This film needs to be dated. Like, you know what I mean? Like it has to have that timestamp for it to make sense, because they even bring up the recession in it.
Mm-hmm. It's a big factor.
Because that becomes one of their white whales that they have to overcome.
Well, there's always an exception to the rule. And again, like, this film wouldn't make any fucking sense if they didn't emphasize the year in which it takes place and what's going on during this time frame. Because the very first thing you see is like, hey, there was a time where TV was the only thing anyone had.
Yeah.
Like, you had TV and that was it. The internet was, it was up and coming. YouTube was not as big. And they make that a point to be like, this is the mindset you need to be getting into. And I really like that.
That feels super unfortunate because YouTube is in its infancy and streaming services are in their infancy. And he has this brilliant idea. He just kept fucking missing the beat. And it's not his fault all the whole way. Like, he did every fucking thing he could.
I think some of it, it is extremely bad luck. Yeah. Like, some of the things that happen in this are like, are you fucking kidding me? Other times, I think it's just TV execs and producers or whatever just lying to them, saying they're interested, just bullshitting them. Yep. And then as soon as they leave the room, they're like, okay, well, we were just being nice. We don't want this or whatever. I feel like that kind of shit happens all the time.
All the time.
When you're trying to make a TV show or a movie or anything. There are other times, though, where they had interviews. Like, there was one interview. I guess this is kind of spoilery, but...
Well, let's just go right into it because we're at 13 minutes.
All
right,
yeah. We're going to spoil this film. Go watch it. It's very interesting. I believe it is on Apple TV. It's on Roku channel for free, Vudu for free, and Plex. But you can check it out on Prime. It's on Apple TV. Whatever Gravitas Movies is, it's there. I mean, you know, no disrespect to them. But yeah, so... they're pitching. It's one of the cartoon segments. Oh, boy. And the showrunner guy's like, hey, I really like this, but let's not have a host. I don't want a host. And then Scott really puts his foot down on like, you know what? I really think the show needs a host, blah, 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 blah. And they do this multiple times where their vision has to be 100% what they say it's going to be. Corey is very much like that, and Scott is very much like that, and Carmel is more like, hey, listen, I just want to get this through the door so we can pay people that haven't been paid in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Let's just get our foot in and get that money, and then we can start making what we want to make. And that's how I kind of, how I understand the business. It's like, you put your idea out. If somebody wants it, they're paying for it. They're going to change it. They're going to make changes. And then once you get established, then you can start making the stuff you really want to make. Like,
that is, I mean, like, no, that is totally, like,
eventually you might be able to make
the,
what you
the
want
industry
to make.
Is very who you know and what you can do to maintain some integrity while selling your ideas.
Some,
yeah,
like some or little. Yeah. Integrity's out the door.
That's like a tale as old as time. Like any kind of showbiz movie, like that's what happens. And because it's true, it's like, if you are at zero in terms of notoriety and celebrity, you're going to have a hard sell with being a host, no matter how good of a host you are, you know, unless you're like some prodigy. Like,
yeah, just... and it's good because, like, me and you are Hollywood elites, so, like, this kind of stuff doesn't really happen to us anymore.
I know.
We're very successful in our field, which is podcasting.
Yeah, I make Jared sign an NDA after or before every recording.
Everyone has to sign NDAs at the end of every episode, actually. It gets emailed to you.
Which, that wouldn't make any sense because we're talking about...
Shut up! You just don't understand my vision. But anyways,
one of my favorite thing, I think we're talking about, no, maybe not. There's one of the cartoons is,
talk this, about whatever you want.
This guy, one of the cartoons is this guy. He's like really for it. And he's like super into it. And he's like, I'm going to take this up to my bosses.
This was great.
At Rocket Science. I think they're called like Rocket Science or something. And
yeah,
they find out later that he's not anywhere near qualified to make any decision.
Totally bullshitting them.
I'm like, oh my God.
So many times they pitched and they're like, hey, we love this. And then 2 weeks later, they're like, oh yeah, that guy, he left to another company.
Yeah.
Or, oh, you know, that guy, he's fired and that company's closed down.
That's fucking,
or, you know, that
crazy
guy. And it's like, that stuff is happening so often where you'll get greenlit on a thing. And this applies to like a lot of stuff too, like getting a new job or whatever. Somebody comes in and they're like, oh, I'm the new guy. Oh, that's all the old guy stuff. Like, I don't want any of his stuff. I want to make my own stuff. I want to have my own bullet points that I can show my boss. Right. So then they just shit can all of that other stuff that was going on, because they're like, no, 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 that's not my stuff. I want to do my... Oh, think about it with the presidency too, right? How they do their spring cleaning, and they're just like, let's get rid of all these people that aren't loyal to me in my reign. And let's get some new people in.
Exactly.
Dang. Bing, bang, bong. Dan, how did you feel about the camera and some of the shots in this movie?
Did
anything stand out?
The camera, like, this is before vlogging is a thing, right? So this the documentary is very much like, let's hold the camera, but it's not like a convenient camera. It's like a camcorder. So it's like a kind of a bulky thing that they're holding and like pointing at themselves. I thought that whole thing was charming. But they did such a good job. It's like, they had to have known. They had to have known that they were going to make a film about making this work.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I have to think that they had that thought very early in the process. Like, you know what, I'm just going to film this to see what we get out of it.
And there's some really critical moments that they caught on film.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes I'm like watching and I'm like, man, the acting in this is really good. I'm like, wait, no, they're just people talking. They're just people who exist.
Yeah.
And this is what happened and what they said. And I guess that's good, man. I mean, I was really engaged with what was going on.
So in that regard, I have a question for you, because you are the audio
wizard.
Curmudgeon.
Who is that? Oh, curmudgeon. Oh, okay.
We're both audio wizards. You're the curmudgeon.
I'm like the grouch of the Sesame Street independent filming world.
How did you feel about that? The dialogue capturing.
Okay, no real issues for me with the audio. You know, it's going to sound a little different just because of when it was filmed and all that. But yeah, I thought it was very charming and I really enjoyed it. Nothing was really bothering me. I liked the close-ups of people talking. I liked it when they would cut to like newer, like, it's weird, because like when they cut to newer footage and back, that kind of stuff wasn't bothering me because I knew it was telling us the passage of time, right?
Yeah.
In other films, if you're watching like a complete story of like a cowboy and like suddenly it cuts to like a completely different camera and like everything looks way better, way worse, that's going to throw you out of it. But in a documentary, you can get away with more of that stuff because it complements what's going on in the film.
There was one thing that bothered me, and this is super nitpicky, because it works.
Sure.
And it was,
that's what this show is. So
I don't know. It is. Okay. It is very hard to tell because they did such a good job, but there are the current scenes of the talking heads, the current talking head interviews. They are set in front of a green screen, and you can
see, I liked that.
I didn't like that.
I liked how bad it looked. I liked it a lot.
Because there's one that Carmel, she's talking in front of like this empty, like inside the actor studio thing. And I'm like, I just want to see the bleachers. I don't want to see the green screen, whatever.
No, I want to see the shitty green screen. I liked it. You know what? I feel like if all of these people got together more close to the modern age of now, they could have done this on a YouTube.
Yeah.
They could have done this on a stream, you know, like a live stream show or something. And this probably would have had a better chance of taking off. Now, here's the issue. I mean, it's still the problem of money, right?
Yeah.
And getting people to see it, because you can make great, great content and no one sees it.
Yeah.
So that's always going to be an issue of who you know, and that type of thing. I guess because like what this is really hinting at, too, is it's almost like the more integrity and quote unquote that you want to put into something, and the more like you want to stay true to yourself, the less money you seem to make, you know, and it's that balancing act between the two.
Yep.
Or is it like, hey, I'll take this on the chin, do my job, make what the masses want, and then I'll find my audience later and do something that really means something to me.
That felt like that was the core. And at least, like, that felt like Scott and Corey were both struggling with that.
Yeah. And I think it's easier now more than ever to find your niche audience that is out there that want to consume whatever you're going to give them. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of did it. We did find our niche, but we still don't.
Yeah.
Get, like, we're not, we haven't blown up. You know?
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. Oh, so big and
strong. It's a level of it's weird. Like, it has to be a perfect storm of interest, niche, and opportunity. And it's like those things seldom align. And like a lot of the times you have to make the opportunity yourself, and that requires funding. And, you know,
that's right. And I'm going to do that right now with our new show. It's called Podcaster Swap. Well, we're going to take a podcaster from a different show and swap them over to our show. And it's like, we have to like live together in a house and do podcasts. Oh, and there's like always an alcohol bar. There's always a bar around, and we yell at each other. We scream.
I get the room with Marc Maron, the OG.
That's right. And I get the room with Marc Maron's cats.
As a matter of fact, this whole show is just, we filmed it at Marc Maron's house while he was asleep. And I was...
We broke in. B&E, baby.
Okay, so a couple more scenes I want to talk about.
Sure.
Well, there's an issue that I want to talk about first. The issue is, as much as I appreciate Corey and his commitment to this film...
Mm-hmm.
Adding a third creative party, it feels like it became too unwieldy, right? Because you had to take into consideration multiple things, not to mention that, you know, Scott and Carmel, they're together. Two people who are definitely going to be on the same side no matter what, but then you have one person who is an outlier, and he's been in the business for a while, so he knows how it works, and that's immediately going to cause conflict, I think.
And he's already like, listen, I've already compromised my integrity time and time again just to get paid. He's like, this was supposed to be a project where I didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
And you have one person saying like, well, let's do that. And the other person's like, no, you know, so.
You are rooting for Scott so much in this that you want to be disagreeing with Corey. But Corey makes a valid point, you know?
Seriously. All right, a few things I wanted to go over. One, when they go meet with this guy to try to figure out how they're going to pitch the show, and he gives them advice, but he keeps like raising his eyebrows and smiling at them, and it made me very uncomfortable. Yes. And I felt like he was being an asshole.
He was being super condescending.
I was like, what is his deal?
He was being so condescending.
Why is he being so condescending? Yeah, it was strange. I watched that scene again to make sure. I'm like, am I getting his vibe right? He's like the type of guy who would like call someone a lady and like really emphasize it over and over again. Like, listen, lady. And I'm just like, can you like relax here? I don't know. So then there was the Brussels sprout incident, which I loved how funny this scene was, where he's talking about it. Because his girlfriend threw a Brussels sprout and it exploded on the wall, and he's filming it. He's like, stuff's getting really serious over here.
It looks like a bullet hole. It looks like at least gunpowder. It doesn't look like
Brussels sprout. Yeah, it does. It does, right? And then one of the guys that they were going to film, because Carmel really likes this dude. She's like, I'm really into like what he stands for and what he's all about. It's the like... free speech guy who was doing, he was like at the convention. I couldn't figure out what he was about.
So from what I understand, he was way ahead of his time. The stuff he was talking about is a very hot button issue right now, in that is, let's get all of the fucking mud out of Congress. Like, let's have term limits. Like, that's what he was about.
Oh.
And he was
so
like...
he wanted more term limits and more power to the people.
Yeah, he wanted a more equitable political sphere. That's what he was gunning for.
Oh.
Like, you know, term limits...
I just wanted to hear, like, clear bullet points of, like, this is what
it was.
I want.
It was
this
hard. It was hard. And that's just how I took it. I could be completely wrong. But from what I understood, he wanted a true democracy. He wanted it to be very equitable, and like anybody could do this, and there were more opportunities for people to engage politically in their communities.
But yeah, he was interesting. I just didn't get what he was about.
One of my favorite scenes, Jared, is whenever they said yes to one of the studio execs, and they brought on a model to be a co-host.
Look, she seems like a very nice lady. But I don't know her acting experience.
And they kind of play that up in the film. It's like...
Yeah.
It's not so much wah-wah. It's just like, this is what we have to deal with to get our show made, right? And like, she seemed like she didn't know what the show was about.
Yeah. And I mean, I get like, you're going there, you're doing a paycheck or whatever.
Scott has the passion behind it. And then like, just that probably might be the core issue also. You know, I have a passion for this. This is my manifesto. This is what I'm doing. And you want to pay somebody to have my manifesto? You can't, like, that's not a genuinity. Is that a word?
That's the genuinity. Okay, sorry.
It's not something genuine that you can sell, you know?
Yes, and I understand that. But then again, that is the integrity part, right?
Yeah.
Of the Tegrity Farms is he wants, this is my vision. It doesn't make sense, you know, without me in it. But also it's like, well, do you want this to do well? Because, and then the other side of it, like, let's hire a supermodel. That's silly. I would hire a professional actor who is passionate about what's going on. Cause he kind of talks about that too.
Even then, like, that's what he would do, but it's not like, I don't think he's being narcissistic about it. I think it's like, He knows what should be done. The only reason I want to be part of this, like, I may not even be the best host in the world, but I'm the one who is the driving force behind this. Like, this is my, again, the manifesto. Like, this is what I have committed my life to doing.
Yeah.
And you want to pay somebody to come in. And so I can see his argument, basically.
If it sells the show, yes.
I can, well, that's what I'm saying. I can see the argument, but it's unfortunate that, you know, it won't work.
Yeah. Oh, and one final thing. So they were going to sell it to a European broadcaster to make this fucking thing. It was like, they were ready to go. They were going to sign the deal. And then the 08 market crash happened and that entire studio fucking tanked into the garbage. Yep.
They got paid, though, at least.
Shit like that. Yeah, they did get some money, and they were able to pay back the people that worked on it. And even that, like, showing that, be like, hey, listen, we kind of fucked people over when we made this pilot.
Yeah.
And they don't shy away from that, and they're telling, they're like, it's in the documentary, here are the phone calls we got, we feel terrible, but it happened. Oh, yeah,
the lady, she gets really pissed. One of the ladies is getting really mad.
Yeah, she wanted to take him to court, and she's right, it makes sense that she would want to. So it's like that kind of ugliness that they show it all. They don't shy away from any of that. And I think that's really makes this documentary a lot better too. So anyways, okay. Final thoughts, Dan, what do you think?
Second really strong documentary we got this year.
Yeah, it's good.
Docs this year are going to have a pretty, pretty big boxing ring.
Yeah. Year of the documentaries, honestly. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I can't fault a lot of it. I thought it was really well put together, very entertaining. Like I said, just a little bit of the end, it may have lost my attention here,
just
here or there.
To reiterate,
what's up?
I said just to reiterate and to get the soundbite here. If you are interested in this industry, this is a great film to watch.
I agree, but yeah, I feel like once the film gets a lot of its points across, then it becomes a little repetitive at the end. But it's also saying, like, I mean, them doing this was fucking repetitive. The amount of months they had to keep pitching and pitching and pitching. And I think they said like 6 or 7 people said yes and then never signed a contract or flipped on them or fucked them over. So yeah. It's all trash. But okay. Dan?
Yeah?
Do plugs.
Guys, you can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us at email and send us your things at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. We are part of the Gmail machine.
Yes.
We do not steal your data.
We do not steal your data.
But we can't say that your data is not being stolen.
Right now. hey, everybody. Thank you all for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Dan, you have the final word, my friend.
Yeah. And my manifesto is also to... get people's names right, because I think it's Charmel and not Carmel, and I feel very embarrassed.
I don't know. We do our best.